I can't remember the teacher's names at all. I just remember one teacher in the study hall, and she used to sit up at a desk, and we'd have to take a nap in there, too. We'd have to lay down, or, you know, for 5 minutes. She'd sit up at a desk on a higher level from us, and she'd have three or four grades at a time in that one room while the little ones were learning, and she would eat candy. And it seems to me from my memory that it must have been like something like chocolate mounds or chocolate, whatever it was chocolate. It was white and pink inside, and she'd bite into it. And you know, we kids, I mean, you know, if we were lucky, if at Christmas we got a piece of candy, or maybe an aunt or an uncle or a grandpa would come and bring us a sucker. And she'd sit up there and eat that candy. And to this day, I can't eat a piece of candy. Because I used to say, when I get away from here, we used to ask our dad for candy, you know. I don't have the money, you know. But in my mind, and then I was 6, 7, 8, I'd say, I'm going to buy all the candy in the world. To this day, I can't stand candy, you know. Although I did at one time, ate enough candy to make me sick, and that was the end of it. I worked in a candy factory. But that I don't remember names. I don't remember anything about the school at all, except that I don't think I ever learned in that school. I was only interested in history and geography. And I would slip into the history geography classes, no matter what section or what grade the children were, and I would be interested in that. But other than that, I'd sit and look out the window, and they used to send me home all the time. And or if they would question me or make me hit me, which they did. They hit, you know, in those days they called you up to the front, to the desk, and they slapped you or hit you with a ruler or a stick. And the more they hit me, the more quiet I got and the more sullen I became, and I'd just sit, or I'd wet my pants. And that to me was, I'd sit there and I'd get so nervous that I'd be too embarrassed to move. But I don't remember the teachers. It's totally blocked out in my memory. And even with psychotherapy, I never could bring it back. Not the names of the teachers or the school. The only thing I can remember is wetting my pants and the scratching on the blackboard is what would make me wet my pants. Every time, and they would call me to come to the blackboard, that's when I would wet my pants. I'd become so terrified from the noise. And I didn't learn in school. I learned at a kitchen table with from my dad and from my aunt and my great-grandmother.
When they said they would send you home, it was because...
Well, they'd send me home because they thought I was sick or that I wasn't capable of learning or that I was retarded. Mm-hmm. You know, just, I don't know, they just... my sister didn't go to school. She had to stay home and take care of the babies. And she's 2 years older than I. I'm 50. I'll be 57. My brother will be 58 in August this month. Next month he'll be 58, and I'll be 57 in December. So there's very little difference in our age. I mean, she hardly had time to get over the first one before she had another one. And my Viola is just 1 year older than Ben. I think she was born in January. 22, it seems to me, she was born. I'm not quite sure. But she, for some reason, didn't go to school. She stayed home and took care of the babies. And then my little brother, Ben, went to school, but he only went half-time, and he worked in the fields the other half. So I was responsible at the school for all the little ones under me. And there were, as I said, four or five of them. The little boy that, not little boy, my brother who passed away a couple of years ago, was in some class, and they called me from another class to come. The teacher had hit him on the ears, so boxed his ears, and his ears were bleeding, and his nose was bleeding. And I came out of this woman's study room where I'd been watching her eat candy, and I went to get him because his ears were bleeding, and they wanted me to take him up to, you know, downtown. We walked across the river and past the gin, and we were at the doctor's. And there was no such thing as school nurses then. I think a health nurse came once every 3 months, came to the homes, and because we were quarantined several times for various scarlet fever, diphtheria, chicken pox. God, we had rheumatic fever, malaria. Oh, we had everything. But when I got there and saw this little boy, and he was quite a bit younger than I, a little guy, I think I lashed out. I beat the teacher. I really beat her up. I never went back to school after that. I never went again. Uh-huh. But the little boy did, you know, suffer some damage in his ears. He never could hear again, and he had to, you know, I mean, he could hear, but not, he had to, in later years, he got a hearing aid. And, but I beat her up. It wasn't my teacher. It was a teacher from, I think, first grade. I beat the hell out of her, and I couldn't have been more than 9 myself, or 10 maybe. And that was the end of my school. Except out here, I went to Hollywood High. I self-educated, or educated myself later years. But that was that.
What were the chores and things that you had to do around the house?
My chores were summertime water, carrying water to the fields, taking water to the men working and the boys, bringing in wood, picking lamb's quarter. I don't know what lamb's quarter is. I only know that we went out in spring and summer every day, and we picked a type of spinach. It looks like spinach. It's probably not turnip green, but it was a type of a wild a green vegetable that grew wild. And I had to go pick that every day and bring in the cows and sometimes milk. I had to churn the butter. Mind you, I'm 4 years old. When I was 4, I was feeding the chickens. And the boys did the chopping of the wood, and we picked cotton, and we had to plant vegetables. And then in an icy cold winter, when a frost would come, we'd have to go out and dig them out of the ground, you know, to save them. But mainly my chores were bringing in the cows, washing the diapers, and that was outside in buckets of water, tubs of water carried from the lake, hanging them up on the cow fences to dry. And my sister did the cooking, and she was just a little thing, too. And she did the cooking and took care of the little babies. And the boys did the outside work. My dad did the slaughtering and the heavy. We had a mule, and we had a team. And we went to town by wagon, by the way, horse and wagon, until my dad bought a car in the 30s. So we all worked. Even the babies had to work.
Remember how old was the first time you did?
Somewhat is telling me, and you can correct me, but the picking cotton sounds like the first work that you did. Was there any thing else you could have that the children?
Oh,
another.
Oh,
in the, I'd say 32, 33, 34, those real rough depression years. I mean, when it was really, really rough. My dad would hire out to pick bowls, as we called it. Pull bowls, that's the word. Mm-hmm. Pull bowls. You know, I haven't used this language in years. Pull bowls or pick cotton. And we'd go to neighboring farms, mm-hmm, or neighboring a man 18 miles away or 20 miles away. And that's a long way, mm-hmm, for a farm family. But they would send a truck, and they'd go from farm to farm and pick up the man and his children. And the man would hire out for the day and his children for so much a day. And then in later years, or when things got a little bit better, when we hired out, we would get paid by the sack. But in the real tough depression days, my dad would hire out, and he'd bring his kids, and they'd pay him so much a day. And that just actually kept us from starving to death. I was very small. I think it was 6, 7. Mm-hmm. Well, figure, I was born, I would say, in 35, I was 10 years old. So I was 7 and 8. And do I ever remember it? Believe me, never forget. But yes, because that'll never happen again.
Was there ever any time you...
It might happen to the blacks in the South, but I doubt it. And if I ever thought it was happening, I'd be the first one to go down there and campaign for them. I don't think it could go today. I mean, we have too many laws, and thank God for them. Mm-hmm. And we have the unemployment and child labor law. I suppose they had child labor laws then, and I suppose they had the school laws, but they weren't enforced,
mm-hmm.
you know. Or perhaps they weren't really put into effect until 36 or so. I'm not quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, we worked.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The
tragedy, you see, of this sort of thing is that kids in those days didn't know. They were brought up to work. They were, if they didn't work, they got a beating. And they thought this was the natural way.
Mm-hmm.
See, today, you tell a little child 6 to do something, he'll say, I don't want to. And you say, if you don't do that, I'm going to spank you. You better not spank me. You're not supposed to spank me. That's child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but in those days, we didn't know. I mean, the father or the mother's word was law. You didn't. If you did disobey it, then you got a beating.
Mm-hmm.
Like in school, I knew I was going to get a beating, but I didn't care. I just, you know, just didn't care. I would rather have the beating than to do what they wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I really wanted to do in school was study music. And I had one teacher that was interested, and she begged my dad, and she even put up the money, a few pennies for the music sheet. And my dad said, I have no money. I can't afford it. I can't give her a lesson. So that's what I really wanted, because I used to sneak off to the band. They had a little band over at the other school, and my brother, one of my oldest brother was in the other school, and I'd sneak over there and sneak into the band room and listen to the music. And actually, I played organ when I was a child without any lessons at all. My aunt gave us an organ, and we had it on the back porch. It was where we made our cottage cheese and butter, screened-in porch. And they put the organ up there, keep the chickens off of it. And I would sit down and play tunes for my aunt. She'd hum, or she would sing it to me, and then I would pick it out. And then after picking it out once, I'd play it. To this day, I can do that. With, you know, not having had a music lesson, but I have an ear for music. But, okay, back to the ranch.
Well, part of what you've done that is one
of
the things I wanted to ask you,
and
that was, well, there's one thing I
want to
ask you is, were the two schools,
both
elementary schools,
from
your town, or was...
Oh, no, one was elementary. By elementary, I presume you mean 1 to 5, or 1.
What,
yeah. The little school I went to handled grades. I think they actually took all the kids, and then the other school, the Wilson School, was in the county. This was in Childress, in the farm section, and the other one was at the county seat, or beyond the county seat, in the county. And I think my brother went there 1 year, which must have been, say, the sixth grade. But the 1 to 5, or 1 to 6, actually went to Robert E. Lee. So, I don't know about the other school. I just hopped right over there on a wagon a couple of times and went to the band room, because my brother liked music. That's the only reason he went, so that he could, he played the harmonica, he taught himself to play harmonica, and then he was interested in the drums, and today he likes the percussion instruments, the kettle drums, or symphonic music, not band music.
Mm-hmm.
But he went there just to get the drums, but then my dad pulled him out of school, and he put him on a half day. And the music was in the afternoon, so he lost interest, you know.
What did you do? Was there ever a time for play?
Mm-mm. Our play was playing in the pig pen, or when we were stopping the pigs, or when it rained,
uh-huh.
We'd throw our clothes off, and, oh, we got a few beatings for that, too, until we learned that if we just kept, the girls especially, and the boy, we had to keep our underclothes on.
Mm-hmm.
But when it would rain, we'd run out, and, you know, we'd pour in warm, sultry rain, and we'd run out, and that was our playtime.
Mm-hmm.
And in the winter, we didn't work, but we had to work inside, study, learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then we helped, my mom canned, and in the winter we dipped the beef in the smokehouse,
mm-hmm.
And what else did we do? Winter time. Sewed, we sewed quilts, the girls had to sew. I don't know about the boys. I don't know. There were so many of us that it's a mirror. I can't remember. sort of a block or a... I do know we all step 4, 6, 7 to a bed. And I hit one of my brothers because he played with my ear. And, but I guess in the winter I think we studied, we learned, we read, we heard stories. Our grandparents and the old townspeople and the aunts and uncles would come to visit, and we would we'd tell stories. We listened. We didn't. You spoke when spoken to. You know, you didn't pop in and interrupt or anything. You just sat and listened. But we played. My aunt, this teacher, would give us at Christmas time jacks, balls, baseball gloves, china set, tea sets for girls. I think my sister and I each had a doll. My dad made us doll beds. And my aunt gave me a set of Play Store one time. This is unheard of today, but to me it was a treasure. It was a box that made into a store with shelves, and then little tiny boxes, which you, like cornflakes, I guess, I have never seen anything like that since. Oh, and then one time she gave us all a set of 3 monkeys each, you know, the 3 little, and we planted them around the corners of the house, and we lost them in a flood. And for 30 years, I went looking for those monkeys, but I didn't know what I was looking for. And a psychiatrist brought that out. I said, well, I'm still looking for them, and they're brown. I was in I was sick one time about in 1960, 21 years ago. And anyway, those little monkeys, they were brown and green, and they were not, I guess they were gone. But she would give us once a year something like that, and that's all we played, that's all we had. Those were our toys, a skillet, and this is what we played with. We played store, we played, we cut pictures out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and, I guess we were pretty sharp. They used to send us the catalogs, and those were, we'd fight over the cutting the pictures out, boys and girls alike, mm-hmm. And the boys made whistles, and they, I don't know, we were all cramped in the kitchen, and we had a table it's longer than the couch with benches, and then we had the family table for the parents. So,
did the boys end up doing different chores and playing different games than the girls did?
Yeah, they'd run off. They wouldn't play with us. Well, actually, I was the one girl. My sister was too big. When she was 10 years old, she was already 20 years old. You know, and to this day, she's a mean son of a gun. Oh, she's irritable and mean and ugly and skinny, and well, she just aged very rapidly when she was 16. She went through today they would know that she needed hormones, but she went through I would say an early menopause at about 16 years of age. She got married and never had any children, and in later years the doctors told her, you know, they should have given you hormones many, many years ago. But to this day she's a shriveled up little prune and miserable and doesn't like anybody, and since her husband died she's anti-social and no one can get near her. But she was a mother to 10 kids. She was actually the mother at 8, 9, 10 years old. She was the mother. We went to her when we were sick. We went to her with a problem, and she never outgrew it. And then when we grew up and moved away and we became adults, she could never relate to us again. So she hasn't been friends with me for 25 years. Mm-hmm. But she was my mother.
You brought up a couple of things that interesting. One was, I wanted to know if when you were growing up, well, first of all, what kind of relationship did you actually have with your mother? You were saying that you
played
that role.
Uh-huh. I had no relationship with her. She was, to me, when I was growing up, she was, I have a better relationship with her today through letters than I had as growing up. To me, she was untouchable. She was someone that had a headache and had always complained and was always in a room having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one or two times that I did come to her, very vividly, the one time I came home from school about after, well, I should have come home for my supper or my dinner, which would have been noon, and I was reading a book, and I got from the school, and I stopped and I sat in the ditch, and I read the book until I finished it. And it must have been a fourth grader book, something about a man with a little boy. He played violin and he was traveling over Europe. And I read it. I've been reading. I started reading when I was six. Anything, everything. Geography, history, mostly, you know, books you find in the home. My aunt had a library. But I read the book, and I was so sad I was crying. And I finally got home about 2 o'clock. I was supposed to be home at 12:30. And I was crying, and she said, "What are you crying about? Did the teacher beat you up again?" I said, "No, I was reading a book, and it made me, and I'm crying." And she slapped me across the face. I thought, well, you know, I mean, I read a book. It was beautiful. I'm crying because it was so beautiful. You know, how I can't. Someday I'll find that book. I don't even know what the name of it was or anything, but... like, I'm always searching for things that leave, that have left open spaces. And she slapped me. And I said, well, in those days we didn't use dirty words, but I must have said, oh, you, because I went outside and I churned the butter, and I don't think I talked to her again for years, other than to run, you know, she asked me to do something, yes, okay. But she was pretty good about my dad, though. When he'd start beating on us, she'd step in. Or she'd tell us to run, or she'd step in between us. You know, he used to beat on us a lot. But I had no relationship with her. Uh-uh. Cold fish. She's now warmer. But my mother and father were both very cold. No affection. No, never. My dad loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd take me out in the mornings working with him in the fields and planting flowers, and he would tell us stories, moon, sky, stars, the earth, how the earth turns over and how the flowers grow. You know, he was very knowledgeable in nature and also very knowledgeable about, I guess he implanted all those ideas in us about Europe because he loved Europe. He wanted to go back and live there, but the kids came, you know. So he implanted or gave me or... I guess he trained me in my early years that someday I would go for him, you know. So, but he was just knowledgeable, and he learned by himself. So, yes, I liked him. But he'd beat on us. When I say he'd beat on us, he'd go into a rage. Maybe firecrackers or somebody, a shotgun, or people would come down to our lake and use the rafts or swim, or they'd stalk around the lake, or you know, a lot of the vets would come down there, and it would upset him, or something would upset him. Something would go wrong, tractor breakdown, or chickens, or like the dogs attack our calves, or wolves get into the chickens, and then he'd just go berserk, and then he'd just lash out at anyone that was near him. But sometimes he would really get mad at us and really beat on us for a reason, like... my brother had, I don't know what it's, Quincy, I think it's scarlet, or diphtheria, something of the throat. And he had to go to the hospital. He had damn nearly died. And my mother didn't take him, and she didn't take him, and she didn't take him. Dad came home from work one afternoon. The whistle would blow, and everybody stopped work and came home for 2 hours. And he came home in the afternoon, and my mother still hadn't taken him to the doctor. And or hadn't sent one of us to go get the doctor, which meant running 3 or 4 miles or to the gin, and then calling from the gin. And my dad went into a rage, and he grabbed that little boy, and he stalked out of the house, and he was anyone that got in his way. And he walked all the way, carrying that boy, he walked about 7 miles. And then when he came back, he was mad at everybody. He was mad at me because I didn't go. He was, you know, in other words, he took out his rage And then that night, we had to call the sheriff to come and get him, send him to the hospital. So, and they kept him there a couple of weeks. And it was a matter of